Well, it is by happy circumstance that today is the 2nd of February, and because of different things that we had to pay attention to during the month of January, having to postpone our annual meeting to this day, it ends up that we are celebrating today a great feast, church. It is a feast that is celebrated every February 2nd. It is the feast of the presentation of the Lord in the temple. In fact, it is depicted in one of our stained glass windows here at the Mary altar. It's the first panel over. You see Simeon there and Anna, Simeon holding the child Jesus, and Mary and Joseph in wonderment. Wonderment, that's exactly the term. Because they still quite didn't get all of what was going on with this child of theirs. He was really only a week old or so. That was the prescription of the law. And so they brought him to the temple in the fashion, as it said, to redeem him. As we heard in the gospel text, that the firstborn of every family was to be dedicated to the service of the Lord. In today's day and age, that means that probably if you had your firstborn male child, you were to send him off to seminary to be a priest. Unfortunately, we don't use that anymore. Otherwise, we'd have more than enough priests for the needs of the church. But in reality, most people did not actually do that. The law allowed that the firstborn child could be redeemed. In other words, there was sort of a ransom paid to God for this firstborn child. For people of means, it was a sacrifice of some substance. It was a lamb. But for those who were poor and could not afford such things, the law also provided that their children could be redeemed. And so, as we hear, for the poor, it was two pigeons or two turtle doves. That was a simple sacrifice. So really, even in that day and age, the law written for ancient Israel and attributed to Moses, for all these centuries, it was recognized that God is the God of all people. That God is the God of all families, not only those who were wealthy and of means, but even the poorest of the poor. And so it is that this event occurs in the life of Jesus, and in most people's lives, it wasn't a big thing. But as most of us as Episcopalians do, we make a big thing out of any little thing we can. And so here we are celebrating this wonderful feast. But it does give us a chance to think about a few things, particularly about this Simeon that we hear about. This is the only time we see him in the gospel text. In fact, there's a little interesting thing, this little canticle that he utters, this thing that he says, now, Master, send your servant in peace, for mine eyes have seen the salvation of the peoples. That song is recited or sung every night by the church. It is one of the key canticles in our prayer book and in our hymnal, and it is used in Compline, which is the last office of the day, the prayers that we say just before we go to bed or we go to prepare for sleep. It is the third of three songs that we sing every day. And we've studied them and talked about them here at St. Luke's over the last few months. The first is the song of Zechariah, John the Baptist's father. The Canticle of Zechariah, we call it, or the Benedictus. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. And then again, a few verses later, we see Mary going to visit Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and we hear yet again what we call the Magnificat. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. That song is sung, just like the Benedictus is sung every morning, so the Magnificat, the song of Mary, is sung every evening at evening prayer or evensong. And then, of course, now, the Canticle of Simeon. These three songs are all in Luke, our patron. And so it tells us that the gospel is something to sing about. It is something where we should be raising our minds in praise and glory of God all the time, morning, noon, and night. All from Luke. I'm not aware that there's any other song or canticle in any other of the gospels. So this is a unique feature of Luke's gospel and is something instructive for us who claim St. Luke as our patron. It is for us then to realize how central the worship of our God is. Not because we fear God, but because we recognize how generous and loving our God is. And that we are moved when we really consider that day in and day out to sing God's praises, morning, noon, and night. And so we do that as often as we can here in this parish, trying to follow the instruction, as it were, given to us by our patron, the evangelist Luke. We do see this character, Simeon, though. It's interesting about Simeon. He was a very old man. You can just see it. See, you know, in your mind's eye, anybody who watches the Golden Girls knows this phrase. Picture it. Spoken by the elder in the house, going back into history and trying to paint a picture for her, for the people that are living with her. Sophia always says, picture it. Then she picks a time and a day, and most often it's kind of made up along the way. But that's what we'd like to, for you to do for a moment. Picture it. Here's this tottering old man who is desiring to have his life complete and then to go, as they said in the Old Testament, to rest with his ancestors. And yet he was promised by God that he would not rest until he saw the Messiah. And suddenly this child is brought to him, and the Holy Spirit leads him to recognize with great insight what is happening. And so it is with great joy that he says, "Now, O Lord, dismiss your servant in peace, for I have seen the salvation." No, he hasn't really. He hasn't seen the life of Jesus. He hasn't seen the works of Jesus. He hasn't heard the works of Jesus. He hasn't experienced the sorrow of the crucifixion or the immense joy of the resurrection. But he sees in this little child the promise of the future. That's one thing about Simeon. Because in Simeon, you see, we are told that he is someone who is righteous. We've talked about that too here in the last several weeks. How being righteous meant you followed the law of the Lord as carefully as you could. And to highlight that, Luke says not only was he was righteous, but he was devout, which meant he didn't do all of these things that the law required simply to do them, but because he really believed in them. He was righteous and devout. And then Luke tells us that he expected the coming of the salvation of his people, the deliverance of his people. He was someone who, being very old, wasn't constantly thinking about the past, like Sophia, but was thinking about the future. He was expecting in the future to see the Messiah. Then Luke tells us a third fact about Simeon, and that he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. As Christians, you know, we kind of think we're special. We even have this wonderful window of ours, the tongues of flame window. We think, you know, Pentecost was the first coming of the Spirit upon the people. We know that's not true. At the very beginning of Holy Scripture, the book of Genesis and the creation of the world, it says the Spirit of God moved over the waters. We hear how the Spirit alights on different people. Eli, Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, all of these people in the Old Testament, mostly prophets who speak the word of God, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them with great power. The unique thing about our Pentecost event is that it is a sign from God that this great gift of the Holy Spirit is not reserved only for the holy or only for those who are special. But rather, the gift of the Holy Spirit is designed and given to all people. And it spreads throughout the entire world. That's what Simeon sees. That this child will enlighten his own people. And in enlightening his own people, they will become a light to the nations. The whole point of God choosing a people for his own is so that they can be the people he deals with, and the world can see the way they act and the way they respond to God, and in so doing, they too will be inspired to seek out this God. Brothers and sisters, that's our role too. In fact, that's exactly what the Pentecost event is about. It is about us being like Simeon. Well, yes, some of us might be old and creaky, but it's not that that we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit can come upon us with such great power that we become lights to other people, so that as someone who is in the darkness is drawn to that one single light, that those people in the world who are seeking meaning and purpose in their lives will see what we do. And because, I hope, that what we do with pure and devout hearts, like Simeon. That in fact, they will see that there is something special here. Something special that we are willing and able and eager to share. And so it is. The Holy Spirit comes upon us, and comes upon us with great power. Sometimes we don't feel it. Sometimes we don't see it ourselves. But you know, sometimes people have said to me when they are quite down and distraught, why does God not pay attention to me? Why is God not near me? And when we stop to think about it, that question has no answer. Because the reality is, God can never be not near us. For we believe our God to be everywhere. God is nearer to us than we can ever ask or imagine. The challenge for our lives is allowing our eyes to be open so that we can see the light that God gives to us in our own darkness. And it is there, in our world in this day, when there seems to be so much darkness around, that God is depending upon you and upon me and upon every other one of his children who carries the light of Christ in their hearts to be a light to the nations and the glory of his people Israel. We should glow with grace. We should glow with mercy. We must glow with love. These are the things that Jesus came to give us. These are the things that the Spirit enriches us with. These are the things that we must be ready, willing, and eager to share. That's what brings us together as a church. That's what brings us together as a parish community. And so it is with great joy that we celebrate this day, this presentation of the Lord, on the day when we are having our annual meeting. Because it is a time for us to see one another, to celebrate one another, and to recognize the light that is in each and every one of us. Those special gifts that God has given to each and every one of his children. Perhaps they are different because it is in the diversity of gifts that God's people are made strong. And it is in the diversity of the gifts that are here that we are made strong, that we are able to confront the challenges of life, to overcome the obstacles to peace, and that we become the very instruments of salvation by our God. So may it be with us that today, as we celebrate this day, and we gather together in a sacred meeting that we ourselves will rededicate ourselves to this great work of being St. Luke's Church, of being able to sing the praises of God morning, noon, and night, to be able to be holy, righteous, and devout, to anticipate the great works that God is about to do among us, and most of all, to recognize the presence of God and the power of the Spirit that resides in each of us. That is our task for the day. May we be blessed. May God's grace and mercy be upon us, and that in our love for one another, we may be truly raised up as God's holy people.